the reports of good or bad received by a person or group of persons from an individual or a group of persons. It's a report. So when you hear the word testimony actually means a report. That means somebody reporting an event, talking about an event that happened. A testimony is also an open acknowledgement of an occurrence or of something received. An open acknowledgement. Mark the word open. It is a first-hand authentication of a fact. That means to provide evidence of a fact. That's a testimony. A testimony is a public profession of an experience. Anyone you can catch, write it. It's a public profession of an experience. And I wrote, okay, I've said my own definition. In the Greek language, a testimony means an attestation. An attestation. It means to agree with the witness of another person. To say that what this person has said is true. Amen. It means to also give evidence. You know, in a court, a case cannot be run through and concluded without evidence. That even if you caught somebody in the act of killing, you will need to provide evidence to attest to the fact that your claims are true. The court does not run on sentiments. Justice is not based on sentiments. Justice is based on facts. That is why many criminals have gone free. You know why? Because the person who accused them could not prove beyond reasonable doubt that actually they committed that offense. So a testimony is valid in determining the validity of an occurrence. That means without a testimony, you cannot validate an occurrence. You cannot actually say something happened when there's nobody to testify of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So a testimony validates an occurrence. A testimony reports an occurrence. It gives credence. Something actually happened. A testimony also means to certify. It's a certificate. When you went to school, you have what is called a certificate. That is a testimony that you went to school. You don't carry your grades on your head. You don't say, you know, I'm a graduate. What do you carry to prove? Huh? So that is your testimony. That having gone through school for 4 or 5 years or 6, if you have ASU strike in your school, you know, that you came out, they will not give you one paper. That paper is the testimony of all your suffering on campus. Now you come for NYSC again. You do back on compassion, pressure, this one. Then you go and serve. When you finish, they'll give you another what? Paper. As a testimony. So if you say, I have concluded my NYSC, they'll ask you, give us what? Discharge certificate. That is the proof that what validates what you are saying. So a testimony is a validation. It gives credence to a claim. It gives credence to what? An occurrence. How do we know something happened? A person must testify of it. A testimony also validates the claim of the power of God. It's this testimony that actually validates the claim that God is powerful. We don't say God is powerful in thin air. We don't just say God exists. Do you know even God likes to prove himself. See, if you've not proven the word of God, you don't know God's word yet. Because even God himself loves to prove himself. That's why when God made the heavens and the earth, he left things on the earth to prove to you that he is God. He left things on earth to prove that I'm the one behind them. That's why you don't understand how the sun knows when to rise. Yeah, you can tell me that the sun rises on where again? I forgot my geography. Is it from the east and sets in the west? Yes, you understood that by observation. But who tells the sun when to rise? Who tells the sun when to set? That is a mystery hidden in God. So God does things and hides certain things to prove to you that your science can't unravel everything. Do you know all that God made in 6 days? Science is still trying to unravel. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying. All that God spoke into being. Science. Why? Because God will always leave something to make you know. I'm the one behind it. One of our professors on campus, speaking of cell division, meiosis, mitosis, and all that. And when he finished, he said, we can teach you all of these things. He said, but no scientist has been able to explain how a baby is formed in the womb. This came out of a professor. Olowe was a prof that doesn't come to class with book. And he will give you notes that will make you write your explaining. He will just come with diagram on paper. And he will start. You, as you are rising, this is an old man. He was over 70. He will stand and be lecturing you. You that is receiving lecture, you are tired. The man taking you is still standing. And when he finished, you say, we can teach you all these things. He was a deeper life pastor. He will say, okay, you say, but you see, none of us even knows how a baby is formed. We are only giving name to explain it. A prof, if he was a fresh graduate, I would say maybe he never read book plenty. Someone that can dictate notes, higher education notes, you can write 10 pages from a lawyer's head. I'm not exaggerating. The only thing you see in his hand is diagram on paper. When you draw it, you keep it paper. He continues lecture as if it's gisting. You are writing. Your note is full. Your hands are paining you. Yet he came to a conclusion that we can teach you all that we know, but we can never tell you in precise terms how the hand of a baby is formed inside the womb, how the bones of a child are formed in the womb. We can only use science to explain, but we can't unravel the mystery. It means that God himself, when he does things, he leaves himself a proof. Yorubas call him Aditu. He's tied. You have to be peeling, be removing layers, trying to exfoliate, to remove something. Why? Because God hides himself in everything he has made. When the Bible says that the trees and the fields, they clap their hands, you are wondering, where did they get their hands to clap? But the person who saw it understood what he was saying. That even in anything that you see on the road, they have animation in them. God put his life. God look at you and say, you will take in oxygen and release carbon dioxide. He said, how will the plant survive? He said, you, plant, take in carbon dioxide, give man oxygen. You don't get what I'm saying here. That even in nature, God is hidden. You look at the skies. If you've ever been on a plane, you look at how the clouds are arranged. They look scattered, but they are arranged. You know how a pilot can meander his way in the cloud. Where there are no rails, there's no track. But they can find his way. If his wings hit one of those clouds, it will be as if a rock hit it. I've been in a plane that was in the sky, and rain was falling when the plane was in the cloud. You don't want to be in that kind of plane. Oh, you don't want to be. Rain has begun. Then you are seeing the cloud. You are about descending, then rain starts. Because before rain can start, clouds must form. So those clouds will hinder the plane from descending. A pilot has to begin to do what? So you see your plane going like this, down. What he's doing is to avoid the cloud. Yet, when he hits one of the clouds, the way it shakes the plane, you see, this thing looks like white paper, but it is stronger than a rock. The wonders of God. So God likes to do a thing and leave himself a proof. So God wants to bring a savior to the world. He wants to show that I am God. He looks for a woman who has never known a man and gets her pregnant. You will run mad trying to explain God. You will be beside yourself. That's how King James put it. When King James says somebody is mad, he says he's beside himself. Kai! You will be beside, trying to explain God. God cannot be explained. It can only be believed. Why? In everything that God has made, he has hidden a testimony. He said, the birds of the air, they toil not. They spin not. They have no employer of labor. They don't earn a salary. He said, but God himself feeds them. How does God feed them? God makes you to work. Plant your farm. When it's time for harvest, the birds will go and eat it. I fear this God. So you understand when he says that I have called you to harvest where you have bestowed no labor. That is how God feeds the birds. He makes you walk. You raise. If you don't go and harvest on time, he tells the bird, that guy is a lazy man. Go and help him harvest. The birds land on your harvest and begin to eat it. But Bible says that is how God is taking care of them. He said, if God can in this way take care of those birds, he said, are you not worth more than them? It is in the testimony of God that you can understand the ability of God. So God does a thing and leaves a testimony. He leaves himself a witness. So he will take Israel through a journey that should last them for 40 days and take them through that journey for 40 years. And in those 40 years, they will record victory after victory. That a people that have no ammunition, that have no weapons of war, nations will come against them and they'll be discomfited. What was God building? He was building a testimonial that many years after, people will remember and say, if God did this for our forefathers, then nothing is impossible. Unfortunately, in Africa, the only thing we remember our forefathers for is generational curse. Amen? Yet, we have a book of testimonies we carry on our phones, we carry in our Bibles. Yet, the Bible is full of testimonies we can trace our ancestry to. But we always choose to trace our ancestry to our earthly ancestry. Yet, in this book contains your history. In this book contains testimonies of what is possible because of what has happened. So what God can do is already revealed in what he has done. A testimony is not just saying God is good. It is to say that God is good because he kept me over the night. I slept and I woke up. Your alarm didn't wake you. Oh, you think your alarm woke you up? Your alarm is just a sound. Because if you died in the night, your alarm will just ring for nothing. But there was somebody who turns the clock, who allows you to feel drowsy. And then you say, I want to sleep. Then allows you at a particular time to hear your alarm ringing. Why didn't you hear the alarm at 2 a.m.? How come you heard the alarm at 5? It's because there is a spiritual clock inside you that taps you and tells you to wake up. That gives your brain the ability to connect from sleep and hear something ringing. You didn't hear what I'm saying here. All this, you are looking for testimony, I'm telling you testimony. Because hidden in what God can do is what he has done. How do we know what God can do? Look at what he has done. You look at your life today. How do I know God can give me money for my rent as he giving you before? Inside what God has done is hidden what he can do. When we commonize testimonials, we will never be able to understand the power of God. You see some pastors, when they are preaching, they tell you story of testimony over and over again. And you're saying, doesn't this man have any other testimony? It is because there was an encounter in that testimony. One of the things that God does for you when a miracle happens, it's not just for you to rejoice. It is to reveal a side of him you have not known. Oh, when God chooses to supply your needs in a particular way, he is telling you, I'm your provider. When pastor is prophesying and say God will bless you with money, your mind is that somebody will send you money. But God then makes a man to remember you and give you a job that can take care of your bills. Because all you need to know about God is that he can do it. How he will do it is not your business. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying here. The reason why we don't see God is because we have a way in our mind we expect God to work. Yet, that is an exclusive reserve of God himself. He keeps the way he wants to walk to himself. He only tells you, I can do it. How he will do it, who he will use, is not in your hand. So God himself testifies of himself. The Bible is a testimony of God. It's a record of testimonies. The records of the mighty acts of God. That if a man has a reason to doubt God, he should go and read what God has done. These things were not written for us to just read by. It is to remind ourselves, to excite the electrons of our spirit about the possibilities in God. What God can do. what God can do. A testimony is an evidence. It is something that lends credence to a claim. So if we say God is powerful to heal, and you are doubting in your own life, then we remind you of the Bible. If we say God can heal anybody, both believer and unbeliever, and you say it's a lie, we have a testimony of a Syrophoenician woman who Christ even called a dog. Yet she sat down there and said, well, I thank God I'm a dog, but at least dogs eat the crumbs of the master's table. Oh, you say, I'm too busy. This is my job. I can't serve God. I go in the morning and come at night. And God shows you Esther, who was married to a Gentile king, who controlled 127 provinces, yet was a stout woman of God. A woman that could carry a nation in 3 days prayer and fasting, and decrees were changed overnight. You say, the reason why I can't serve God, politics is so, I can't do politics. Then God shows you Daniel. That Daniel served 5 presidents and was still a righteous man. Brought out revelations that talked about the end time. Under Gentile kings, idol worshipping kings, they even changed his name to Belshazzar, just to make sure that they convert him. But no, Daniel knew his God. Every time a man wants to complain, there's a testimony to nullify your complaint. You say, God, this suffering is too long. Then God tells you about Job, who lost everything in one day. And when God restored him in double. You say, God, do you still open wombs? When a woman's fallopian tube is blocked, can God still do anything? Then God reminds you of Sarah, who had no chance medically of getting pregnant. Yet, can you imagine your grandmother being pregnant? Eh? Imagine your granny. I don't say your mom, your grandmother. And she say, what happened, grandma? You are spitting. Yeah, I'm pregnant. It sounds funny. So you wonder why Sarah was laughing. Don't wonder too, because even you are laughing. So when an angel said, by this time next year you will have a child, Sarah is laughing. Excuse me. I don't understand. But God hides himself. God testifies of himself. God proves himself. The Bible, you see, when people argue about the Bible, I laugh. It's because the Bible itself is a proof of its own self. The Bible needs no defense from you. The Bible needs nobody to come and defend it. The Bible defends itself. Every prophecy in the Bible about Babylonian kingdoms have come to pass. I'll tell you just one. When Moses was blessing the tribes of Israel, he called Asher. He said, Asher, dip your foot in oil. 1959, the first major oil exploration was found in present-day Iraq. Present-day Iraq is the Asher that Moses blessed. What he was saying is that dip your foot in oil. Asher's land became crude oil. I'm telling you that what you are discovering, it came by a prophecy. So when they check the map of that place where they found the oil, it's like the foot of a man. Are you guys in church? These are the testimonials of God. I can go on and on, testimony after testimony that have happened in contemporary days. Why? Because God is a God of testimonials. God likes to brag on himself. So when he does something, he ensures that somebody will record it. That is why a person who keeps track of the goodness of God will always see it. If you make a habit of taking account of the things that God has done for you, you will see more. If you make a habit of forgetting, it will be hard for you to believe God. So when we talk about the power of a testimony, it is that you must understand how God operates. The things we read and give us joy were preserved by testimonies. And every time God did something, he will send somebody to go and testify. A few scriptures are read to us. What testimony can do? What is the interest of God in testimony? Why is God so particular about testimonies? Why? I've said before that it is what lends credence to a claim. God cannot say he is God without a testimony. Because he himself cannot believe himself until something has happened to testify what he has said. So he told Abraham. He said God checked a way to swear. He looked for a God to swear by. Because he had to prove to Abraham the immutability of his promise. God checked. He said, I am God. Who will I swear by? He said, I swear by myself. That surely in blessing, I will bless you. God has not finished calling Abraham, Genesis 12. In the next two chapters, God has to prove to Abraham that truly I have called you. They kidnapped Lot. And God raised Abraham to go after Lot. And when Abraham conquered, on his way back from the conquest, Abraham meets with God himself. He meets a man called Melchizedek, a priest. And what does this priest represent in Abraham's life? This priest represents Abraham's exposure to the Christ. It's called the Epiphany. What's the Epiphany? The Epiphany is the Christ in existence before he came as Jesus. So he meets the priest. And what does he... Sorry, not the Epiphany, the Christophany. That's the word I'm looking for. The Christophany. What's the Christophany? It is the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament before he was born on earth. Because you see, Christ cannot be Christ unless he's born of a man and a woman. Sorry, unless he's born of a woman. He cannot be Christ unless he has this earthly flesh. So every appearance you see in the Bible, in the Old Testament of the Christ, is called the Christophany. It is the pre-appearance of the Christ. So Melchizedek comes, meets Abraham after a conquest. And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. In response, the priest gives him bread and wine. Does this sound familiar? And Jesus knew that he was called as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Because in his line, there was nobody talk about priesthood. Priesthood was an Aaronic thing. It was Aaron's lineage. Yet Christ came out of Judah. He had to come into the priesthood ordained for him. There was a testimony he had to walk in. So when he was leaving the earth, he brought bread and wine. Because he cannot partake of that priesthood unless he understands the history of that priesthood. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, he is about to leave the earth, but he needs two encounters, because there were testimonies on ground which he had to enter into to predict his own future. Because Jesus will not die, or he will not stay dead. And there were only two testimonials of two men sent by God who did not taste death. He had to partake of their testimony so that he could become what was written about him. Remember, he said, in the volume of the books, it is written concerning me. Thy will have I come to do. So there was something written. So Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus on the mountain. Moses represents a person who died. His body could not be found. Christ died. When they went for his body was not found. Elijah would not taste death. He had to be taken up in bodily form. They saw him go up in bodily form. Jesus had to ascend. So he had to partake of that testimony of Elijah. Because the day we come after Galilee, he will ascend in the same way. So everything that Jesus lives and became, it became because there was already a testimony on ground. Listen to me. Your life has been chronicled. There's nothing about your life that takes God by surprise. There's nothing you're asking God now that he has not made available. Why? There's a testimony to the fact that God is able. So Jesus came into the encounter of those who had gone ahead of him. Jesus! Why am I saying that? Because if you think of him as God, you may not understand what I'm saying. Understand that he was man on the earth. At the point of dying, he had to believe in the ability of God to raise him if he died. I'm saying all this to say that God doesn't joke with testimony. And so he said in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Who did they overcome? If you read verse 10, you will see what happened there. Give me verse 10. He said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. He said, for the accuser of whom? Come on now. Are we together? The accuser of who? Is what?
which accused them before our God how many times?
So there was a man called the accuser, aka the devil. He stands before God to accuse the righteous day and night. But God gave a righteous man something to overcome him with. He said the only way the righteous can overcome the accuser, can tell the accuser shut up, is by a testimony. He said they overcame by the word of their testimony. So when the accuser stands before God to accuse a righteous man who has done something bad, there is a testimony on behalf of the righteous man that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Because of my peace, he was chastised. So when the accuser says he has to be sick because he has sinned, a testimonial says no. He was wounded for my transgressions. The devil says this man is broke because he's not disciplined. He has lavished everything. That is not a good thing anyway. But when you are at your wit's end, you don't try to justify why you are suffering. You need mercy. A man who needs mercy should not be explaining his problem. So when the devil brings a railing accusation and tells God why you need to stay broke, then a testimonial comes. And God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we always having all sufficiency of all things may abound unto good work. He said, consider the Lord Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. So the believer does not embrace poverty as a lifestyle. Why? A testimony has spoken that it is possible to be wealthy. That right now I may not have all I need, but I have a testimony. Oh, is somebody understanding testimony in the new light? No, you thought testimony just come and stand here and talk. It's a good one. But let me tell you, there is power in the testimony of scriptures. Every step of the life of Jesus was him acting out a script. Remember, I began by saying that what God can do is hidden in what he has done. If you take time to ponder on what God has done, you will see what he can do. Did you guys come to church this morning? Why am I feeling like this is bouncing back? That if you take time and ponder on what has been written about the ability of God, your eyes will open to see that, so I have just been crying for nothing. I've just been grumbling for nothing. You complain and cry because you are seeing wrongly. When you start seeing well, you start rejoicing. You will touch your pocket and there's nothing, yet you will rejoice. Because you have read somewhere that my God shall supply how many of your needs? The power of a testimony. So they overcame by the word. So we see how that the accuser was brought down. But there was something that brought the accuser down. It is that they kept the word of their testimony. And it says one thing there. It says they loved not their lives unto death. They were not too conscious of their lives. They hung all their existence on the testimony. Have you ever seen a case whereby somebody's freedom is based on one man's testimony? A court case, somebody's wrongly accused. And they are waiting for one person. They say, if that person can agree to testify, the judge will set this man free. And have you seen those films before? And as they are all waiting, somebody has to watch Telemundo. You see, they are waiting. Gang, 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 gang. Then as the woman is coming from the road, a car will stop. They say, you know, see, get there on time now. And as the court, the judge raises his gavel. Baga! The door opens. Guess who enters? The woman we have all been waiting for. And the lawyer says, my lord, I have one more witness to present. And by her testimony, the judge holds his gavel. The gavel cannot come down because a testimony has reversed the conclusion. When the enemy thinks you are down and out, when the devil thinks he has gotten you, always remember that there is a witness there's a testimony that will say, the case did not end like this. It is written somewhere that this person ought to be free. He said what? He said, shall they pray? That shall the prayer of the mighty be delivered? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? He said, it's because you don't know. It might be a lawful captive, but there is a law that is higher than the law of the captor. There is a law that has broken the bone, the backbone of that law. That law is called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That testimony alone makes a mess of any process. And let me tell you, every testifier, before his testimony can be accepted, the testifier himself must have some sense of credibility. That's why, if you are doing a case, you don't bring a drug addict to come and testify of something. Do you know, if somebody was high on drugs and he saw a murder case happen, he saw murder happen, when a lawyer smart can use that thing against him, I said, my Lord, at the time of this event, this guy was high on drugs. How can we believe his testimony? Do you know instantly that testimony can be thrown out? Why? For because the person testifying has no credibility. But guess what happened in Christ? In Christ, you were once far off, have been brought near. You have now become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So your testimony is credible. That what could make your testimony that they said they cannot believe it? This one that stole, that was committing sin. Hey, they check in the book of testimonies. They say, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A testimony of one cancels everything. See, I don't care what you have believed in your village. If the scripture stares in your face, drop that belief like hot potatoes. Because that scripture is a testimony against you. The word of God can testify for you or against you. When you always align to the will of God, you will find God's word testifying on your behalf. So many said Jesus did not come as a man. They argued for many years. Even some Jews don't believe that he is a Messiah. Up till today, they see Moses as their Messiah, not Jesus. But because God had to leave himself a testimony, some pagans were busy doing their own own worship every end of the year. They will have idol feast. Then believers will sneak in to go and join them to partake. Somebody got up and said, instead of us sneaking in to go and be joining this idol worship, let's create our own feast. They call it Christmas. You can argue to them, kingdom come. But God had to leave himself a testimony. You're not getting what I'm saying here. The things that men do that we condemn, it is God walking in the unseen, ensuring that a memorial is preserved. Christmas is an idol worship. Argue with your ancestors. Christmas is not the most argue, but God was walking behind the scene to ensure that you and I will remember that one day a Savior was born. He was not born on 25th of December, we know, but was he born? God had to keep that record intact. Aye. The power of a testimony. So Mary is here doubting that how is it possible for a virgin to be pregnant? Then God said, your cousin Elizabeth, who you called back, is pregnant. 6 months before the angel came to Mary, God did something that he will use to tell her. I don't know how to preach this message in a way that you will get it. I feel that some of you are just like, what's this man saying? Let light come to you. Let light come to you. The day God tells you he will do something for you, there's a testimony on ground to prove. That is why, don't just run with prophecy. Look for it in scripture. Because every prophecy tells of the ability of God enshrined in the scripture. If that prophecy has no basis in scripture, it means it's not possible. So God cannot tell you what he will do if he hasn't done it before. God cannot be telling you something that if he hasn't said it before. If God is telling you what he has not said before, discard it. Why? Because what God is telling you now, he has said it before in the Bible. The way you will have to believe God is that when he says it by the Spirit, you check it by the word. So God is a God of testimonies. God is a God of validation. He loves to prove himself. The way you will perpetuate victory in your life is to keep your testimony alive. Keep the testimony of what is written about you. Keep it alive. Don't let no condition change what you are seeing. Don't let no problem change what you have believed. Paul got to a point and said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom. That's an audacious statement. He said, the angel of the Lord whom I serve stood before me tonight and told me that there shall no harm come to the sheep, that I have given to you the life of all those that are with you. Paul was not the sailor, but there was a sailor that was not the sailor. He was controlling how the ship turned out because he knew the God he was serving. He said, the angel of the Lord whom I serve has told me. He's not the one in the ship, but he was the one they put the ship in charge. If you don't take charge in the spirit realm, you can't take charge in the physical. Paul was a prisoner, but he was a sailor. He was a prisoner, but he was the one controlling the ship. He knew the outcome. So when men were afraid, he said, we're in thick darkness for days. There was no light. Darkness that was palpable. But he told them, sirs, be not troubled. How can a man speak like that if he does not have a testimony? Find your history. Find what is written about you. You will grumble less. Find what is written about you. You will complain less. You know what you will do? When you find your testimony in scriptures, most of your prayers will be prayers of thanksgiving. Because you will tell yourself, I really have no prayer point to pray. My only prayer right now is to thank God for what he has done. Because if it was not possible, it would never have happened. So I repeat to you as I close, what is possible in God is possible because it has happened before. What God can do is revealed in what he has done. If we keep our eyes fixed on the testimony of God, the prophetic will become active in our lives. So he said that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means the testimony of Jesus is the life source of prophecy. That means we cannot tell of things to come unless we have embraced the testimony of what has happened. We cannot tell of things that will happen unless we embrace the record of what has happened. In the things that will happen, in the things that happened, we can see what will happen. We can know that it is possible because it has happened before. If God could part the Red Sea, we know whatever represents the Red Sea before you can be parted. If God could cause Jordan to move back in a time where it ought to overflow his banks, and he told them, in this day, in the day of Moses, they walked on dry ground because I parted the sea. He said, but in your day, you will step in. Because every time you have a problem, God wants to prove a new dimension of himself. Same problem, but different revelation. One, he said, he part the rest, he walk on dry ground. This one, he said, I won't part it. I will part it when you enter into it. And as God was parting Jordan, he had a reason. As Jordan was parting, they were hearing the vibes in Jericho. So the spies get to Jericho, and Rahab said, your dread is upon the city. Because one day they were in at home, and they heard waves, and they saw Jordan, when it ought to be overflowing, folding back. Jordan was a river before Jericho. So Jericho understood that a people are coming you need to fear. So God parted the sea to tell the adversary and cripple them with fear. The things that God does in your life is to send a message to your adversary that this one, you can't touch him. You are there crying and you see your victory. You are weeping over the testimony. Yet God has used that testimony to send a message to your enemy that, see, this is not a person you play with. Somebody sat waiting to laugh at you, and then God changed the scenario. It is not just to make you happy. It's to tell your enemy, beware. So your testimony is a warning to your adversary. When you rehearse your testimony before God, your enemies take dressing. They say, ah, it's true. We thought we had seen his end. Oh, why does God wait till when it looks like embarrassment? When it's about to turn to shame to show up? It is a signal sometimes to the adversary. So he will let three Hebrew boys be thrown in the fire. He won't deliver them from Nebuchadnezzar. Yet the boys have told themselves that whether this our God delivers us or not, we still will not bow to Nebuchadnezzar. And God said, those are my boys. Yet God puts a test. He allows the fire to be heated 7 times. He didn't intervene. He shows them a sign, because the men who now throw them into the fire are burnt by the fire. Ha! The fire is so hot that the men who threw them in were burnt. Let us close. It's because if you sit down with these testimonies, something will stand up on your inside. You will be mad at the enemy. You will come like and say, ah! Is this the same God I'm serving? Do you know all of these men with their exploits? When they died, God told them to go and manage paradise. They could not even go to heaven until Jesus resurrected. Yet, in your own day, you came and met the risen Christ. You came and met Jesus, having a place for you in heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I won't tell you. I don't brag for nothing. He said, I go to prepare a citizenship for you. So when you believed in Christ, you have a citizen of heaven. You have a green card in heaven right now. You are not praying to go to heaven. Do you know why? The testimony of Jesus. Heaven at last is my goal. Keep it. That goal was settled the day you came into Christ. Only God knows those that will make heaven. We know. Ah, no. How do we know? John 3:16. As simple as that. For God so loved the world that he gave something because of that whosoever. Yet when Jesus was saying this thing, he had not even died. Yet that testimony was preserved for a people. So that you don't wake up doubting your salvation. He said we should draw near with full assurance of salvation. We should draw near. Why? Because there is a record. I'm not coming to church because I want to make heaven. I don't live a life of not sinning because I want to make heaven. If I'm not sinning because I want to make heaven, I'll be sinning. You know why people misbehave? Because they think that they hear the law. Now they are hearing grace. Grace said, don't worry. Christ has done. So they begin to misbehave. Because they came out of a system of law where you had to do to earn. Now they have heard, you don't have to do something. So that's why you see a person who has been following law enters grace and begins to misbehave. No, no, no. But I don't live in sin as a testimony also. Ah, yeah. That the man who is struggling with sin can look at me and say, it is possible to live without sinning. So even my life, as I'm living out a testimony, I am also becoming somebody's testimony. My living right is a testimony that it is possible for you to carry flesh and not fornicate. I'm a testimony already. Let us close. Lift your voice and begin to speak in the Holy Ghost. Lift your voice. What can be done has been written. There's no room for doubting. I rise up with what has been written about me. I keep my eyes on what has been done. Because in what has been done is a revelation of what is possible. I see Jesus interceding for me. I see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? Bible says he forever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can somebody see his victory right now? Can you see what is possible? Blessed be God who always causes us to triumph. Now thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Some have trusted in horses, some even in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. He said the horse is prepared for the day of battle. He said, but victory is of the Lord.
We have a more sure word
of prophecy.
That through the comfort of scriptures, we who are left might have hope. We have hope
from the testimony of scriptures.
Rejoice forevermore. Rejoice. Is it marriage? Oh, there's a testimony about it. Hey, is it a good job with money? There's a testimony about it.
There's nothing a man needs that God has not done. Our eyes are on you, Jesus.
For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. I see the Lord. I see the Lord exalted high above the worship of the people of the earth. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb on the throne, who reigns forevermore. Meloni maro ninu oreti babashe. Meloni maso ninu oreti Jesu she. Ani ore rema ko oju yoni. A fi ki shama dupe ore rema ko. Alagbada ina alawo tele o oba to fi mole bora bi aso oro mi do ore aleru olorun ba mi eru olorun ba mi o ohun to ba ti pinu lopon re
o se mi to le da duro
mo ba ni komina nakane komina nakane. Omina nakane, Jehovah. Omina
nakane.
We call you Yeshua, Amasia. Omina
nakane.
So the Igbo says, Igbo chuku, Igbo gimadu. Igbo chuku, Igbo gimadu. Ha ha ha. Igbo chuku, Igbo gimadu. Say, now you be God, Almighty God. You know be man, no.
Kai Jayaba.
You know be man, no. Narekele.
Narekele.
Narekele. Se baba uwete obulime aha uwese 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 baba. I never seen this kind of God before.
I never see
you. Thank God, will you do me better,
wonder,
Jesus.
Jesus. I can't hear you. Jesus. I said he's God. Oh. Hey. I never see you. Generation Z don't know it. I do ni lati rojure. Tori pe emi yo ni nu re. Emi yo ni nu re. Igba gogo lo fi. Oda na eyo Jesu Oluwa joba
eyo Jesu Oluwa joba
o joba laye wa o tun joba nile wa
eyo Jesu Oluwa joba
oda na ijomba jo Ijo mbajo pori shambaku
kucho pala.
Oya
Ijo mbajo pori shambaku kucho pala.
Emi ya bere mole
Mateka
Mate Jesu mio
Eke
Owa mi loke
Kaya
Maka aleluya
Mekpepe
Aniko bere mole Jesus me
oh
oh me oke
ya
ya haleluya ma bara mara
ma
ke ka Jesus me oh oh me oke
ya ya
haleluya
e
mi ya bara mara
ma
ke ka Jesus me oh oh me oke
ya
ya haleluya ori ere lori mi o
ori ere
yeah aha 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 oya oya ehe oya oya eh ori ere lori awase
ori ere
ati kekere moju oluwa Asi tun dagba sinu ifere
orirere
Asoba jaye omo Maria
orirere
Oda na a ori mi o a ori mi o orirere a
ori mi o orirere
Oya omo so ala la bala la
Oh,
Rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. Praise God.